Welcome to S2 Underground, a freelance intelligence agency fighting terrorism, fake news, and political tyranny around the world.
I'm the trouble starter, punkin' instigator.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Underground. So it's that time again, question time, where you send in questions and we provide answers for them. So the first question is, body armor on a severe budget in preparation for incoming legislation. Would you buy level 3A soft body armor or level 3 steel rifle plates? So this is going to come down to personal preference, and our personal preference is quite clear. We've actually talked quite a bit about steel armor in previous episodes on the topic, but in this specific case, I would choose the soft body armor. Even though it's less protection, technically, the trade-off is worth it because you're going to be far more maneuverable and you're going to be able to carry more weight with the soft body armor. So that's a huge benefit to us. The only time where we can see steel armor actually being an option for some people is in very, very, very specific circumstances where where you're going to have something that's very, very thin, but you are facing a very specific threat, i.e. you know what firearms your bad guys have, and you're trying to protect against that specific threat. So that's something, like for instance, if you're going into a situation where you need to have a covert plate carrier, but you're facing rifle threats, well, a lot of ceramic plates are kind of thick and kind of give that away, whereas a lot of steel armor is going to be a lot thinner. So that's you know, a trade-off you're willing to make. Now, of course, with steel armor, you're going to have to run into things like it not being certified, or it's, you know, being very, very heavy, or, you know, of course, the spalling. So even if you do get hit with it, you might, you know, drive that bullet right up into your face, which is not good. So that's really the only benefit that we could see from steel plates. If you're under the wire and you don't really have anything else at all, we would still say go with the soft body armor because your maneuverability is worth it. Now, if you wanted to, what I suppose you could do in yet another specific case is you could, if you're running a rucksack, you could put a steel plate in that over your soft body armor and have kind of like one of those hard backpack panels and things like that. That could work out pretty well. I would not do it personally because, you know, every rucksack is already way too heavy. So really the biggest deal here is weight and maneuverability. The steel is just too much a liability for us in our specific circumstances. We would much rather wear no body armor at all than wear steel body armor. So that's just how we feel about it. And of course, the opinion's divided. So if you guys feel differently, please let us know. Next up is using fake, copied, or counterfeit license plates and tags to evade surveillance. So this is a topic that we get a fair amount of questions on, how to avoid surveillance. And generally speaking, you know, well, actually really not generally speaking, it's definitely illegal to do. Using a fake license plate on your vehicle is very, very illegal. So of course we can't suggest people do that. Now we know people are going to probably try to do it anyway. So here's something you might want to think about. One, it's not going to work. In you know, 1965 or, you know, 1980s, where a lot of guides and how-to things appeared on the internet and, you know, in publication, and a lot of these questionable guides showed up on the internet, they talk about things like using license, swapping license plates, right? It shows up in every movie plot that has something to do with a bad guy, stuff like that. But here's the thing, in today's modern surveillance, it's probably not going to work that well. For one, we have things like automated license plate readers, and those are configured in such a way in most areas which have them to scan the license plate and compare that with the actual vehicle itself. So for instance, unless you're taking a plate from an exact make, model, and color of vehicle that you're trying to put it on, it's not going to work. The license plate is going to be scanned and your vehicle is going to be flagged and you're going to get pulled over simply for having a fake license plate on. So that's something to consider if you're trying to do that. Also, in today's modern surveillance world, where there is literally a surveillance camera on pretty much every street corner in America, it's going to be very hard to get a fake license plate. All right, so next up is, how do you predict crypto will be used in the future? And how will it be regulated, if at all, and affected by said regulations? So if you're talking about cryptocurrency, I would expect it to be regulated as much as it can be in the future. Not necessarily things like, you know, Bitcoin, you know, marketplaces or the actual you know, crypto itself being, you know, impacted because it's blockchain. Blockchain, once it's out there in the world, it can't really be taken back. So the actual currency itself might not be an issue. Now, here's the thing that might, that will be an issue is marketplaces that try to, in some way, change cryptocurrency into actual currency, like into maybe a more fiat currency, like US dollars. So if you go to a website or something like that, or a platform that transfers Bitcoin into US dollars, that website's going to be targeted because they can't go after the real blockchain stuff. So that's something to keep in mind, is that a lot of these places are probably going to get hit pretty heavily, especially now that lawmakers know that blockchain and Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies are impossible to regulate. Next up, what mobile phone VPNs do you recommend, or at least which ones should be avoided? Is it true some of the more commercial ones like McAfee or Norton allow backdoors for authorities? So yes and no. So a lot of us are familiar with the whole Cisco NSA spying thing that went on for, what, I think 10 years or so? A lot of these commercial companies that offer VPNs are most certainly working with authorities to allow backdoors into their systems. That's a fact. I don't know if Norton or McAfee does it. I think McAfee got caught doing it, but I'm not sure if they're doing it anymore. And I would almost certainly guarantee that Norton is too, but that's just a hunch. As far as specific VPNs, there's a few out there that are the main ones. A lot of people recommend ProtonVPN. A lot of people recommend NordVPN, but the one that we use the most is PIA, Private Internet Access VPN. Their servers are physically not located in any of the 14 EYES organizations, and that's what you're looking for. You're looking for a company that hosts its VPN servers in a non-14 EYES country, or really any country that has a sharing agreement with the United States. So for instance, Vietnam does not have a sharing agreement with the United States. So if you wanted to, you could, you know, plug in PIA and then go to a Vietnam server. So that's what you're looking for. You're looking for a VPN that offers hosting and their headquarters and most of their servers located in a country that does not share intelligence with the United States. That's really what you're looking for. So if there are companies out there that are selling these VPNs and they're based in the United States, absolutely, that's a no-go. And a sort of related question is, how to best protect your personal computer? Are VPNs the way to go? And are password managers secure? Thanks, love the show, keep it up. Nice. So yeah, VPNs are definitely just one layer of security. A lot of people think that once you get a VPN, because there's been so much talk about VPNs, if you get a VPN, people think that it's like a magic shield that prevents you from having anything bad happen to you online. That's not true at all. A VPN, all it does is mask where you're physically located. And a lot of them don't even do that. So if, for instance, if you're using a VPN that says, like, I don't know, Ireland or something like that, and you're Googling your own address, like, it's pretty easy to figure out where you're located. At least Google can figure it out pretty easily. That's something that not a lot of people take into consideration. So if you really wanted a secure computer, you're not going to be using a Windows or Mac operating system. You're going to create a Linux-based operating system and then run VPNs from that, preferably with different partitions, using something like the Qubes operating system, which we'll have more about later, Qubes with Q-U-B-E-S. That's the best, most secure operating system that we've found. And that should help out a lot when it comes to securing your personal computer. All right, up next, my previous question regarded retaliation against Trump and his supporters. It appears that we now know the answer to that question. That being said, how much retaliation do you think we'll be seeing? Will it be limited to shouting them down? Or do you think we'll see voting rules leaked, Republican, conservatives, or anyone who's anti-tyranny be doxxed by the radicals on the left with the blessing of the Dems? So yeah, it's true. We're definitely seeing a lot of retaliation. And it's not necessarily at this point in time that we're recording this. It's not really coming from, you know, individual people. It's coming from companies that are firing people, that are closing bank accounts, that are shutting down websites simply because people, you know, had an affiliation with Trump, right? I saw the other day that Harvard is circulating a petition to take away college degrees from people who supported Trump. Not even people who were affiliated with the administration, people who just liked Trump, right? They're trying to take their degrees away. So yeah, that's a huge thing, and that will continue to get worse. Now, how far it will go, we don't know. It could get pretty bad. We know for a fact that this did not happen in 2016. Like, I remember sitting in class in a university during the election cycle where Trump got elected, and I remember classes being shut down for 7 days because the liberal students and professors needed time to grieve. Quite literally, that's what we were told and what the emails went out said. So I was happy because, you know, I had a week of class off and had a lot of work to catch up on. But we did not see, when Trump took office, conservatives go after liberals. We just saw conservatives sort of relish and bask in their glory of, you know, achieving the highest office in the land. Well, we're not seeing that now. We're seeing, you know, the impeachment stuff happened after Trump conceded the election. Like, think about that for a minute. You're trying to impeach a man who's admitted that he's lost. Is that the mark of a legitimate democratic process? No, it's not. It's either political grandstanding, which is what we think it is, or it is trying to target and squash all opposition, which is exactly what's happening. So yes, we would expect that anyone who identifies with the conservative platform to be targeted, especially if they do so openly nowadays. So that's just something we're going to have to look at moving forward. All right, next up is a quick one. Thoughts on 3D printed guns? Our thoughts are that they are the future. We need to support the 3D gun community as much as we possibly can, and we need to buy as many 3D printers and filaments and accessories and all that stuff you need. We need to buy as much of that as we can. So 3D printed guns are the ultimate insurance against a tyrannical government. And nowadays, it's not, you know, 2014 with some, you know, garbage 3D printer. We've got 3D printers that are very, very good at what they do. So that's something that's going to be a huge thing moving forward into the future. All right, up next, hey, I had a question about the inauguration for the podcast. Assuming there was a large protest with large media or social media coverage, would LEOs and National Guard personnel be more or less cautious in their use of lethal and less lethal force to de-escalate any conflict? In short, yes. Right now, it is not a good time to be in any law enforcement at all. Even good cops, bad cops, you know, apathetic cops, cops who just show up to work every day. If you have a badge, it is not easy to do your job, even if you wanted to, right? That's one of the downsides of all of this sort of defund the police stuff, is it eliminated all chances for a reasonable, rational discussion when you say, we just want you to not exist anymore. So there's that. Also, with the public scrutiny of everything law enforcement, it would make it less likely to do things. It would make it less likely for the average, you know, officer on the line to do something. Right? We saw what happened in all of the cities last year, and that sentiment is not going away anytime soon. Now, to caveat that, right now, especially at the inauguration, we are at a, like we said on the last podcast, a gloves are off stage, where National Guard and law enforcement, they are much more likely to use lethal force right now than really ever before. Well, at least, when it comes to things like comparing it to like last year, right? If you were to compare the inauguration to last year, we would say that this point in time, the inauguration, is the time where law enforcement are most likely to use lethal force, even though that chance is still very, very low. It's still the highest, right? So, all right, up next is, I don't want to have / be involved in boisterous conversation in open access / public places about political philosophy, guns, work, anything that unfriendly people can eavesdrop on and possibly exploit with family and friends. A lot of people close to me still don't understand why that sort of behavior could be an issue today. What are some ways I can talk to them about the importance of controlling information they put out in a way these regular people might understand? So this is an excellent question, and one, unfortunately, that we don't really have a super great answer to. So right now, a lot of people, despite what has happened last year, not a lot of people learned. Not a lot of people learn their lesson when it comes to stuff like that. And right now, people are very upset. And when people are upset, they tend to make poor decisions. So we have run into that as well. You know, friends, family, coworkers who talk about things or have conversations or, you know, wear certain t-shirts or, you know, have some, put stuff out there in the world, in the public sphere that shouldn't be put out there for fear of retaliation, right? You always want to maintain the upper edge. And, you know, even if we supported a political candidate or a political ideology with any fervor, which, newsflash, none of us do here. Even if we did do that, it would not be a good thing to do in today's world, because when you put something out there, when you walk around wearing a Joe Biden t-shirt or when you walk around wearing a MAGA t-shirt, you're putting out there information without getting anything back. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, and the real question is, how do we get normal people, people who haven't learned, to recognize that that's a bad idea? And there are a few different things that you can do. Really, it's going to be a long game. It's going to be teaching. It's going to be mentoring. It's going to be, sometimes you're going to offend people. You know, it's going to, you might, depending on your situation, you might have to tell a family member, a close family member, to, you know, just to shut the hell up because we're in a public space, and you might upset them. They may get mad at you. But if that means that you save their life because the Antifa members at the next table were getting ready to attack you, you know, it's probably worth it. So, unfortunately, we've got to do some impolite things in order to keep people safe sometimes. But we also don't want to go too far and, you know, completely go off the rails and just be a hermit, even though it's probably what we're going to end up doing and what we're going to have to do. I mean, geez, look at what we've done so far with the S2 Underground. So, to answer the question, really, it's going to be a long game, teaching people, mentoring, trying to figure out ways of changing the subject, you know, introducing another type of conversation if somebody starts rattling on about politics and you notice somebody's eavesdropping, right? It's going to be a tough battle, but it's something that's going to have to happen, you know, if you want to keep the upper hand. We're, of course, not saying, hey, don't go talk about politics or anything like that, but as you guys already know, OPSEC is a huge deal, and there are a lot of people out there that are just waiting for the opportunity for somebody to slip up so they can attack them. So yeah, hopefully that sort of helps answer that one. And we have a sort of related question as well, is that, so I've noticed that friends of mine are waking up to the scary reality of what's happening. How should I go about making these hard questions that we have to ask ourselves easier to swallow for the more sheep-like people? That's what I want to know. So yeah, same thing is you're going to have to take it slow. If you're, this is one of those things where we get super frustrated, is like when somebody, it's like the classic, you know, like Joe Rogan style interview, right? Where Joe Rogan's sitting over there and he has no idea what's going on. And you get somebody on there that's going to talk about like how aliens are real, right? And they say like, look, this actually happened. We have proof that this, and this happened. We have proof this military operation was a cover-up. This stuff, like genuine stuff, right? And then, you know, somebody like Joe Rogan goes like, oh my God, this is amazing. You know, Jamie, pull that up, right? And they look at it and they're like, well, I'll be damned, it's true. And then the guy uses that sort of legit, you know, information to say like, oh, well, okay, well, there's lizard people, and just trust me on that. I don't have any evidence of it, but just trust me, right? I was right on this, so let me just trust me on this. So there's a big difference between the two, right? If you're going to try to show people what's actually happening with, and this is, you know, of course, going down the conspiracy theory lane and using that as an example. If you're trying to talk to people about things like voter fraud, about things like psyops on American soil, things like even freaking aliens, you know, whatever. If you're trying to do that, it's best done in a calm and patient manner. We're not going to make any difference shouting things at people, and we're certainly not going to win anybody over by saying, just do your research, right? You know, lizard people are real, do your research, right? Well, normal people don't really know where to begin. So if you've got something to say like white supremacists are hiding in this group, and they're using this group and this ideology and this, you know, stuff to hide their group when they're really white supremacists, but they're saying they're liberty guys, right? If we were to say that to people, people balk at it, right? And they have before in the past. But if we take the time to sit down and explain in a calm and patient manner, this is what's going on and here's our evidence for it. At the end of the day, people are like, yeah, I agree with you. I believe it now. So if you're trying to convince people of something, it's a dance, right? It's a give and take. But I can tell you that calmness, patience, and a little bit of work on your part is what's going to be needed. All right, so the next question is, do you guys have any recommendations, guidance, etc., on home security systems, specifically exterior of the home only? Yeah, so we don't have any brands or anything like that because they change a lot. But generally speaking, your home security plan, when it comes to like electronic surveillance, it's going to be multi-layered. So you can go on Amazon, or if you are smart and don't want to support Amazon, you can go on the internet and find these like security camera packages where it'll come with like, I don't know, a dozen cameras or so, you know, the wire and cables and like a hard drive. That's what you want. That's something that's good. It's not going to be connected to the internet. That's a huge thing. Not be connected to the internet. And it is something that you can set up pretty easily if you've got a weekend free. Also, in addition to that, you're going to want things like game cameras and other, like, you know, nanny cams and spy cams and things like that. You know, the whole, you know, birdhouse or bird feeder camera. That's what you're going to want as well, because you don't want all of your eggs in one basket. So that's a huge thing as well. Then you can layer it inside your house as well. You can even get online Wi-Fi cameras, cameras that are wireless and they use Wi-Fi, but they're not connected to the internet. They use their own Wi-Fi router to connect to a hard drive. That'll work as well. That's, you know, good. Just keep in mind that people can tap into that. And you absolutely, whatever you do not want to buy any security products from Amazon that are Amazon branded, right? Anything like Ring doorbells, you know, all these Nest devices as well, things that are connected to an online server, connected to the internet, that is a huge no-no. You do not want any of that. That's what we can say. We can't really tell you exactly what brand you go out and get, but we can tell you that don't buy anything from Amazon. And I'm sure that most of you by now know why. It's, you know, Amazon surveils everything, and your, you know, local police departments can get access to your Ring doorbell cameras and things like that, even if you don't want them to. So that's a huge thing. So the next question is, debating on going into the Army after I get my degree in cybersecurity. Is the Army worth it? Wanna be door kicker here. So yeah, if you want to join the military, go for it. It's not good or bad. I can tell you that things have changed in the military. It is not at all what it used to be, especially the Army. And if you're trying to be a door kicker, if you're trying to go into a, you know, a combat MOS or something like that, you're going to have a hard time because there are not any deployments to anywhere. So if you're going to be or want to try to be a door kicker, you're going to have to go via the SF route, the Special Forces route. So if that's something that you want to do, go for it. Don't let anybody stop you. I can tell you that in the intel world, a lot of guys are definitely getting out of it. We're seeing a sharp decline in analysts staying in simply because the Army is a mess. The military is a mess. The civilian structures are a mess. It's all a mess. So, but one area which is not so much a mess anymore is Special Forces, even though they've got their own burdens there. So yeah, if you want to join the military, go for it. If you've got a job in mind, go for it. I can tell you that probably with a cybersecurity degree, they're going to try to push you into a cyber job. But if you wanted to be a door kicker and you can, you know, pass selection and, you know, pass boot camp and stuff like that, then yeah, go for it. It could be a good career for you. All right, so next up is China. What's your assessment on China and Jamaica and buying farmland throughout the Americas? From my perspective, they are putting in place the means to feed a 2.8 million man army in enemy territory. Groundwork for a drawn out war? So yeah, this is a classic Chinese tactic that's gone on for a while now. China's been buying up farmland and beachfront property and, you know, city property in America for a few decades now, actually. And yeah, it's China tries to put their tentacles everywhere. So it's not really a surprise when people see a news article on a website saying, "Oh my God, China's bought like land in Jamaica." They think immediately invasion, and that's not necessarily what's going to happen. It's a concern, right? It's definitely a concern. Like anytime a communist nation, the government of a communist nation, buys property in a capitalist nation, it's not good. And it's something to be worried about, but it's a long time out. We're not saying that China is going to invade Jamaica next week, next year, or even within the next 5 years. We're talking like a 10-plus-year problem out, and China is just hedging their bets and trying to make sure that they're the most advantageous when their currency becomes the fiat one. All right, next up, how would one be involved in this project or community of OSINT when there is a raised scrutiny of these types of groups by the FBI and others like it, especially if one is working in the intelligence community? That is an excellent question and a great one to end on today. So this is something that we have dealt with for a while now, is that it's not very private that we have associations with the intelligence community. Most of us here are no longer in government work, and we can tell you all kinds of things, but at the end of the day, you don't know who we are, and we're going to keep it that way. So we could all be freaking CIA agents. We could be. We could all be, you know, your local municipal water managers, right? You know, we could be that. So since we're not providing any details about who we are, that mystery is always out there. And that's just the way it's got to be in order for us to put out content. Now, of course, that relies on a lot of trust. And here's the thing. We're not asking for your trust. In fact, we discourage it. We have, from the very beginning, right, we specifically, talking about us as an agency, everything that we have done as an agency has been set up in such a way that you guys out there in the internet land are protected from us. Right, we are not requesting any private information. If we put out requests for things like, hey, does anybody see this in this area? We actively tell you to not tell us where you're at. We don't want to know. We don't want anybody who might be surveilling us to accidentally catch you guys. So that's what we're trying to do. And that's why we have to pick the platforms that we do. That's why we have to choose things like Element and Utopia, because those platforms make it impossible for us to find out who you guys are, right? It's not so much, it's a two-way security thing, right? We're not so much concerned about hiding or concealing our true identities from you guys. Like, you know, it's the internet, right? It's easy to be anonymous on the internet. But the issue is we don't want to have an organization to where you guys are penalized for being associated with us. That's why we created things like Teespring, you know. So if you wanted to support us, you could buy products on Teespring. But here's how Teespring works. We at the S2 Underground never see your address, right? If you buy something like a t-shirt or a coffee mug or something, we don't ever see that. We never put our hands on the product at all. We never see what you buy. We never see anything. All we know is how many people bought a certain thing. We don't know your name. We don't know your address. We don't know where it was shipped to. We don't know any of that. Teespring does, but that's another barrier between you and us. So if somebody were to hack our Teespring account, they couldn't get any of your information. And that's why we went with Teespring. Now that, of course, that means that things like, you know, patches, and which everybody's been asking for forever, that's going to be hard to do. Because we're not going to do what everybody else is doing and like make 1,000 patches or whatever and sell them to you guys from our physical location, because then we would have your name and address, and we do not want that at all. So that kind of makes it hard, and you know, we're sorry that that's the way it is, but you know, until another dropshipping organization comes out, that's, you know, how it works. So that example of how Teespring works and why we chose that is hopefully sort of, you know, trust inducing. You know, we're not asking anybody to trust us completely. In fact, once again, we discourage that. But we do want to show that we are doing what other agencies are not doing. And we are not actively trying to keep a database of anybody here, right? That's why we don't have an email distribution list. Because if we created an email distribution list for a newsletter, guess what? Everybody that wants that newsletter has got to give us their email. We don't want it. That's the point. You know, we don't want anybody's email address, because if anybody, once again, hacks us, the only thing that we want them to find is stuff on us, not on you guys. Another good example is Telegram and Signal. So everybody on the internet seems like they're jumping to Telegram or Signal to, you know, put their platform there. Like, you know, a lot of guys, you know, the 3D printed gun world, they're moving there. A lot of more conservative news agencies, they're moving there. A lot of independent OSINT groups, they're moving there as well. But we're not. And here's why. If we jump to Telegram, what does Telegram require for you to set up the app? It requires a phone number. And we don't want the same thing to happen with Parler, right? Where you put your phone number in and suddenly it gets leaked on the internet. So we're not going to even choose a platform that is that has the potential for exploiting our own people. We're safe here at this end. We've taken so many measures to make sure that nobody can figure out who we are. It's ridiculous, right? But you guys, and you know, some of you out there might not be so knowledgeable. So we don't want you guys to get, you know, be collateral damage if we were to go down. And if we go down, guess what? You guys staying safe is good, because then you guys can take the S2 underground, you know, mantle forward and start doing more good OSINT work and stuff like that. So hopefully stuff like this shows, or at least provides a little bit of clarity on why we set up things the way we set them up as, right? You know, our comm plan, it's very much a one-way program. Like, we don't want people to take our comm plan, right, and be able to use it to lure people to a specific location, right? There is no specific location. So that's like, you know, that's what it is, right? So we don't want people to use our tools against our own users. And that's something that we can't really find any group that's doing that. So hopefully that extreme level of privacy at the infrastructure level shows how one can interact in an OSINT world. And hopefully the mentality that we've created and the infrastructure that we've created can be used and copied by others as a means of moving forward. Like, we hope Parler learned, like, look, you don't want to have verified accounts where you've got to upload a picture of your driver's license, because guess what? Everybody that does that, they're going to get leaked, right? So we don't want that potential to be there in anything we do. So hopefully that helps provide a little bit of clarity and trust for why we do the things we do. So thanks to everybody who submitted questions. We always love to hear what you guys are concerned with, because that drives what content we push out. Also, if we didn't get to your question this time, we'll add it to the list for next time. And if it's urgent or time-sensitive question, or one that requires a lot of back-and-forth communication, you guys know who you are, we'll respond to you directly so that nobody gets left out. And for the answer that we provided today, if you have more questions, or if you have any thoughts or comments or stuff like that, drop it in our platforms. Right now, we still have Keybase around for a little while. That's getting ready to go away. We also have Element set up, but we're not super stoked about Element because of their terms of conditions as well. And finally, we have our last and best hope for staying on the internet, which is Utopia. So go check those places out. You can right now join all of our platforms and find everything else. We're putting all of our content from YouTube on Library or LBRY, so you can use that as well. And once again, we have a website. We've got social media still, unfortunately. And yeah, you could find us pretty much anywhere. So. And before we end today, we always wanted to end on a book recommendation. So the book recommendation today is Tactics of the Crescent Moon, Militant Muslim Combat Methods by H. John Poole. So H. John Poole is a great author. We like most of his books. And he's actually a surprisingly unknown author, really, as far as we can tell. Not many people have heard of him. But Tactics of the Crescent Moon is essentially what it is. It's tactics that the Taliban used in Afghanistan, from a tactical view down, you know, boots on the ground, to a more strategic view of, you know, just unconventional warfare in general. It also covers more unconventional warfare tactics from Gallipoli to Lebanon, as well as the ideology factor behind such actions, because, as we all know, ideology is a driving factor for most guerrilla movements. So this is kind of a fascinating book on how a lot of these groups get started and why they get started. And so this is a great book. It's very interesting, very fascinating. If you like studying history and some of the more minute details of how things go on, it's very interesting, particularly from the historical aspect. So yeah, check it out if you're interested. So yeah, that's all we've got for today. Hopefully you guys can stay safe out there and stay sane, especially. But until next time, always remember, fight in the shade. It's 2 Actual Out.